who takes care of me. And grandma have in common. So all of us have different family experiences, obviously. But in our mythology about grandmas, grandmas are people who love us unconditionally and who feed us, feed us treats, and who call for us to be our best selves. They encourage us. They gather us around, might rub our back, but mostly call us to know that we are loved and that we are loved unconditionally. And so when we think about this Jesus who we're speaking of today, when we had the Chrism Mass last Saturday, we talked about who Jesus is and how he's related to the people of his time. And Jesus knew his people, and the people knew Jesus. And so Jesus knew human life and the physical and the emotional realities of the human condition. Jesus knew hard work and probably worked alongside Joseph and others in labor. Jesus understood family life, knew about loss, knew about friendship, knew about sharing meals and drinking wine and having weddings, knew about wayward children. And Jesus knew love, not the kind of unicorn butterfly love, but the hard love. And Jesus' mission was to model hard love for us. And sometimes grandmas do that too. When Christy read the second reading and Peter was talking about what Jesus was calling us to and had modeled, you must follow in the footsteps of Christ, who did no wrong, who spoke no deceit, who did not return insults when insulted, who, when made to suffer, did not counter with threats. Are those not behaviors we need these days? All of us call each other to those behaviors and to the people who lead us and guide us. So we know that in Jesus' time, the church leaders, the authorities of the church at that time, were very law-focused. And sometimes that law caused a lot of exclusion. So if you were sick or had a disease or were blind or disabled in some way, if you had sinned in any way, if you weren't ritually pure, then you were excluded. And so the law was held as the most important thing. So when Jesus came along and started saying, I get that, but, I get that, but I want to call these people to myself and to love them and to love kids. Jesus loved kids. And the rest of the adults, perhaps not so much, because kids were kind of second-class citizens in his culture. And so Jesus called for people to love and do hard love and to reach beyond the rigidity of what the law sometimes said. So I want to read you a story that, just so you know, is a story. So if we think about God the Father or God the Creator as being that God who set forth what was right and good and how things needed to be, this is the exchange. So God the Father was strolling through heaven one day when he came across two old Roma gypsy men down on their knees throwing bones burnt with thoughts and betting piles of coins against each other. God the Father was shocked. Shocked! Shaking his old white curls, he continued onward and suddenly came across an old woman sitting under a big shade tree, enjoying a big fat black cigar. "Harumph," said God the Father. "This isn't right. These people don't belong here." Next, he saw an entire gaggle of little children jumping in mud puddles, and the dirtier they became, the more they were filled with laughter and joy. Then, to top it all off, he saw lovers so deeply in love, kissing each other and swearing their allegiance to each other's souls on a holy book that was not the Bible. The next thing, though, put him over the edge. A group of painters were painting frescoes on the inside of a small chapel. And believe it or not, each one was painting God a different color and race and even gender from each of the others. "Abomination," God said. "This simply cannot continue. I cannot understand how all these people can possibly have taken up residence in my heaven." And God the Father made up his mind to find St. Peter, who obviously was not doing his job properly. "St. Peter, I demand an explanation. On my way here, I saw soldiers shaking from withdrawing from drugs. I saw child prostitutes who were singing and washing their new little wings. I saw men and women who had destroyed their children being comforted. People are still wearing pain and shame in their eyes from having drunken binges, from severing life from life. And of all the nerve, I saw some prelates who were carrying on about who was right and who was wrong in church matters on earth. And I came across a woman praying a prayer I'd never heard in my life. She was chanting, 'Oh, my dearest God, my mother, holy is thy name.' I came across priests who were catching their children in the air, dancers and revelers who begged me to join them, and one fellow who was brewing beer that smelled so good I almost caught myself saying, 'Mm-mm.' St. Peter, has heaven gone to hell? All over heaven there are men and women who have their lowrider cars pulled up on the front lawn of heaven, tinkering with their engines. There are girls in short skirts and kids that you can tell by their eyes they've seen more years of life than their years lived. St. Peter," God boomed, "why are you letting these people into heaven? They're not the right sort. They should have gone to purgatory first to be cleansed. Some of them need a lot of cleansing. It's not right that they're here in heaven." "My dear God," said St. Peter, "you don't know how hard it is to keep them out. Why, they come to heaven's gate and I look in the book and I tell them what their judgment is and they look at me and say, 'No, no, sir, St. Peter, you must be wrong. I'm supposed to come to heaven. I've been told I would be welcome here.'" God the Father was aghast. "And so, Peter, how do they get into heaven, despite what I've decreed and despite you telling them they're not welcome?" "Well, God, you see, it's not easy to explain this to you. It's very complicated." "Come now, you can tell me, St. Peter. You know I'm God. I'm a very forgiving force. You can tell me." "Okay, God," said St. Peter, "but you're not going to like it." "What do you mean I'm not going to like it?" snapped God. "Just tell me already." "All right, then. You ask for it, God. These people come to the gates, and I send them away, and I send them away, and I send them away. But then they go around to the back of heaven, where your dearest son and his blessed mother let them in." So Jesus is the gate, the back door gate, the gate that opens with compassion, who knows us and knows our hearts and knows the struggles of the human condition. So we don't disregard or eliminate the standards that God the Father sent, that God the Father said, these are standards of living. And Jesus knows what it's like to be human. And sometimes we can't meet the standards. But he knows our hearts. He knows that we're willing. Jesus knows that he wants to befriend us and come beside us and lead us and guide us in his way. So when we are overcome that we cannot be perfect as Jesus is perfect, we know that Jesus reaches out to us, holds us, loves us, and wants us to know that there is a back gate, and he is that gate to welcome all.